Ian Bessarabi, the future of work. Good morning. What did you think of our 7 o'clock?
Good morning. I thought it was very good.
There we go.
There you go.
There we go. There you have it. A thinker. He's a thinker. And he's not just an organic intellectual.
He's not an organic intellectual.
Have you heard the term before besides with cloudy?
No, organic intellectual.
Cloudy, Cloudy Matsuneng apparently is an organic intellectual.
Oh, wow, okay.
I like it. I'm going to, I'm trying to think, how many of our kids are going to be organic intellectuals?
So rude.
No. I mean, in today's woke world, isn't organic intellectual that which we all strive to be, not?
He was trying to justify the fact that he doesn't need a matric certificate around the
Oh, okay. I thought my son would probably use it to say he learns by osmosis or something.
Yeah. Right.
That's an organic intellectual.
Only eating whole foods. I think we're confusing the concept here.
Okay, sorry.
Slightly. Absolutely crazy. So, just wording. You're not unemployed. You are simply between opportunities. 11 minutes past the hour of 8. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. We are talking the future of work. And very, very specific, Ian, we are speaking about how do we move from being a dreamer to a high achiever, because I think that is a problem that many of us have, that we have these great ideas and we can picture it in our minds, but the step between where we are today and where we will be or where we want to get to is so darn difficult. Give us your thoughts. I don't know what I'm doing with your mics. Okay, let's try that one now.
Okay, are we better?
Much.
Thank you. Okay, so the difference between a dreamer and an achiever is a dreamer doesn't really have to do much. You just got to think. You just got to kind of put it out there, and it's kind of the risk-free approach to being an achiever. The minute you want to achieve something is you actually have to put things into action. And a lot of people, as you say, find it very difficult to take that first step. So coming off the back of a hugely successful Achievers Awards that you spoke about yesterday with Dina Diamond, and just listening to some of the feedback, I thought let's try and look at some key areas where people can actually focus and become less kind of scared about being an achiever and not worrying what everybody else thinks. I think one of the key things that came out of all the speeches, all the nominees, everyone that was there, was the level of passion. And I think passion was the first thing. And for me, passion has no bounds. And why I say that is because if you're passionate about something, you pretty much focus on that, and you kind of blew out everything in the side. You forget about what other people say, the detractors. You forget about all the negatives that come into your mind, and you just pursue that passion. And the second one for me, which was a huge one, and it came out so many times to speaking to people, is about integrity. Integrity and humility. Integrity and humility are probably two of the biggest values and factors that I've seen achievers being so good at, is that they go in and they believe in themselves, but they also believe in the greater good. And we've stepped away. I think this year was fascinating. I recall you mentioning it yesterday, is that there was a lot less focus on wealth as we've always defined it in terms of monetary.
Because there's a shift in the world.
Absolutely.
The happiness is a currency today. Positivity is a measurement. So it isn't as simple as financial gain.
Absolutely. And it's become, as you say, we go through certain things in life where we start to appreciate and we show a lot of gratitude for what we have, which we haven't in the past. I think a lot of people
because South Africa is not in a very simple situation. So I think we have to hold on to these things, but it does work. That's the truth.
Absolutely. And I think it shows that great achievers and people actually go out there and admit that nothing's perfect. I think for me, people also.
Well, that again is an evolution, is that we don't think that anybody is. Is that we don't live in a world anymore that you can protect your image to the point that everybody thinks that you are Superman. Everybody knows you're not.
Yeah. And that's the biggest problem. The people that I've canvassed have had such diverse views. And one of the most interesting things is about vulnerabilities. People feel very, very scared to be vulnerable, to show their weaknesses, to accept that we're not all perfect in that. So they would rather avoid that and avoid the risk or avoid the limelight or avoid putting themselves up there because of fear of failure. Yet what we've seen is that sometimes you don't actually have a choice. You have to fail. You have to fail to succeed. And I know that sounds like a bit of a
it's one of the things. I don't think it is a contradiction. And it's one of the concerns I have about the South African entrepreneurial environment is that we're so concerned about the external view of ourselves that we try and avoid failure at all costs. Whereas in other entrepreneurial societies, like in Israel, like in Tel Aviv, for example, your number of failures is absolutely part of your success. That's just how your process has been and what you've learned. It doesn't mean anything.
And I think that's where the balance comes in. So I was speaking to somebody last night who said to me that they feel better when they are validated for the input and the positive impact that they have in an environment,
right,
and they feel comfortable to fail. And I said, well, just unwrap that for me, because I don't actually understand what you mean. And they said, the fact is that often what we do is we always focus as managers, as leaders, we focus on the negative, and we use that as the opportunity to call somebody in and to kind of wrap them over the knuckles or to kind of use that in a negative.
And that begets further failure.
Absolutely.
Because we create an environment of such fear that people don't want to, they are petrified to move around it. Shmuel said what Ian's saying resonates for me. Let's go to, on 101.9, Chai FM, Ian Basarabi joining me in studio. We're talking the future of work. How do you go from having a dream to a reality?
So Howard, I think one of the most important things is about focus. We've spoken about it a lot in the past, but I think one of the most important things is that we get distracted. We get distracted. Life is just full of distractions, and often we don't stay the course because I call it like you go to a website and you click and click and click, and then you end up on a page and you can't understand how you got there. And it's just because you're distracted, and that's very much like our lives are. The most important thing for me is if you don't know what's important to you as an individual, you'll never know what you want out of life.
So it's interesting. I'm thinking, as you're saying it, what is the most important thing for me? If you were to ask me that question, I would say action. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Just get up early and do it. It doesn't matter whether actualizing your dreams means sharpening a pencil and organizing your stationery. And that ultimately, of course, has got nothing to do with the dream that you're actualizing. I believe it's all about action. It's interesting. Just get up there and do it.
I agree with that, Howard. And I think one of the hardest things that we focus on, that we don't focus on is giving attention to those things about being, taking action. The one thing is once you take action, you've got to carry through with it. A lot of people don't. You mentioned earlier, people don't carry out their dreams, or they don't carry out their ideas. So
I think it's because they don't start. I think it's because I can have this best idea, but it's big and it's overwhelming and I don't know where to start. And I'm saying start by putting your shoes on. You know, just start. It doesn't matter what you do. Start by anything, but make sure you're doing this every day. You know, you decide what that time is. If you're an early morning person, 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning. If you want to start a bit later because you're not that person, start at 8. But start every single day. Get up, get dressed, and do something towards your goal.
Absolutely. And it's got to become like a habit. As we say, it's got to become like a habit.
Exactly. Because once you're doing that, then you know it's 7 o'clock. All right, I'm sitting at my desk thinking about something about my dream. What is it?
Also understanding that you don't have to be ready, because a lot of the time people wait for that perfect time where they say, no, I can't start now because I'm not ready. I'm not perfect. And there's
it's
this
so
love.
Interesting. It's yeah. exactly what I'm seeing when I mentor people, Zanati. That is the biggest issue. No, I can't change jobs now because then I'll get a list.
Yeah.
I can't, but in the meantime, they're dying.
Yeah.
They are dying. They are at risk. They are anxious. It's affecting family life. It's affecting all sorts of things, but they can't because yeah. of a list of reasons. But those reasons aren't reasons. Those
exactly.
are fears. That's just plain and simple fear. It's lack of courage. You've just got to move.
Yeah.
We die if we don't. But I want to tell you an interesting thing, Ian, that I was telling you during that break is one of the very powerful things that I gained from Benjamin Zander's book, The Art of Possibility. And he spoke about it again. He spoke about it on Sunday evening. I did mention this as well. Is on the show is that at the start of his school year, where his university year, he gives every student an A. And the only condition for them getting that A is writing him a letter there and then. So let's say it starts in, I don't know when the year starts, let's say September, October, whenever it is, and it carries through till the June of next year. They have to write the letter now, dated the June next year. And they want to thank him for or recognizing the person that they're going to be next year, not the person they are now. So they take themselves forward and they write him this letter saying, I got my A because this is what not all about music in his world, but I got my A because I became this person in music. So now, in fact, what it does is it actually allows them to imagine with their whole being what it is to be that A student, and they become the A student without even having started the year. And I think that's incredible. And maybe to some extent, that's a way of doing it. How do you actualize a dream? Well, maybe you've got to spend a half an hour or an hour or 12 hours, a whole day in that space and write yourself or a friend or your spouse, your husband, your wife, whoever it is, write them a letter saying, this is how I actually, this is, you know, today I've made a huge success in this project that I was doing. And, so you look back from the inside as to what you've done. And that hopefully can allow you to take that journey. And I think that's such a powerful thing.
So how, for me, Howard, there's two key things that come out of what you've said there. The one is you have to be able to visualize what you want to achieve. Many of us, we have the idea in our head, but we can't visualize it. We can't see it. So if you don't have a plan or you don't have a map, any road will get you there. You know, it's the kind of, you'll never get there because you can't visualize it. The second thing is what you say about the letter and the power of the word. And what I say about the power of the word is that you have to verbalize it to people. And the reason why you have to verbalize it is many of us, like, will sit with these ideas in our head. They will sit there and we'll stew over it and we'll get frustrated. Whereas once you get it out, then you start speaking about it. There's a lot of things happen. It's amazing what happens. First of all, people will now get inspired by what you want to do. They'll help you through the process. But equally, if you've got trusted people around you, they will guide you because they will tell you that you're being too ambitious. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And that'll help you. But if you think about it, if you keep that contained inside of your head and you're not sharing your idea, how can you expect people to believe in you? How can you expect people to support you? So that point about everybody, verbalizing, get out there, be proud of who you are. You know, Zanati made such a good point about we use our weaknesses as excuses. You know, if you had to think about it, can you imagine if scientists spent hours conducting more experiments to prove that gravity exists? That would be crazy. You know, we kind of know it's there, so deal with it. You know what I mean? We work around it. And it's the same thing is that we all know that life is hard. I'm not for one moment saying that this is easy. This is far from easy. But you need to acknowledge a few things. You need to acknowledge that everyone has areas of strengths and areas of weaknesses. We've spoken about this. Your weakness won't disappear overnight, and it may not ever disappear. So deal with it. Accept it. And you only get one life. You know, we only get one life to do this. So make the most of it. And it goes back to your point, Howard, about action. Every second or every minute you lose by not doing something is a minute wasted or a second wasted.
Time is at 8:28. I'm Hartfield, and I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 0618951019. So time is 8:34. Ian Basrobi in a studio. We are talking the future of work, and we're talking about ways to actualize your dreams. Shmuel says, for me, it started with Bluebeam. It started with an idea, aspiration. I dream loads. It's hard work, built relationships, and therefore creating an opportunity. And I think that's what it is. That's what I'm saying. I think it's just hard work. It's getting up, doing it, and doing it again and again.
So Howard, I think Shmuel's 100% correct. It's about expecting the unexpected stops you from giving up when times get tough. Because the reality is that not every day is going to be a good day. But knowing that your setbacks are not unique, and that you will encounter these and you can prepare yourself for them, stops you from getting like all esoterical about this should be perfect, and you look out at the rest of the world and you go, oh, how come that person is so successful? They're
yes,
so
and,
lucky.
And not only that is, we're seeing this on social media all the time. Yeah. Everybody's having the best life ever.
Mm.
But what we don't see is the hard work and the stress and the anxiety and the aggravation and the loss and everything else that goes with just being human.
Absolutely.
So that's a problem. You know, I had this conversation with one of my kids, and they said, look, I don't know if I can do that because I need to do something I enjoy. And of course that's right, but it's really not. You need to do something that you're going to be fulfilled by. Not that you are going to, there's nothing that you will do that you enjoy every single moment. It is absolutely not possible.
I was even thinking about this morning. I love doing radio, guys, but 4 o'clock.
What are you saying?
The thing is, it's not nice waking up at 4 o'clock, but I love my job. I'm fulfilled because I'm doing something that I love, but that hard work, people don't see
when
you're struggling to wake up
absolutely
at 4 o'clock in the morning.
There's no doubt. And why do we do it though? You do it because you love it and it gives you fulfillment.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that when that alarm goes off at 4 o'clock in the morning that you leap out of bed and you scream hallelujah. Some days you crawl out of bed and it's not hallelujah that you're screaming. Mm. Right, exactly. Ronnie, very, very cheap. Message from Ronnie.
Ooh.
Very, very cheap and opportunistic, but I love it. So impressed. I like this sort of opportunism. I think that Nikki's 80th calls for mazel and brocha, especially after that horrible song that we are recovering from. And that two boyfriends in the sand rubbish that you played. All right. So, Ronnie, we'll do it this way. Time is 8:37. I am very, for Nikki, who is turning 80 today, I am prepared to play Mazel and Brocha, but only if Nikki wants it. Because maybe Nikki's got incredible taste in music and doesn't want it. So why would I play Ronnie's request for Nikki if Nikki doesn't like it? So there we go. Nikki, absolutely up to you. If you want Mazel and Brocha, it is yours. And I will play it graciously. If you don't, well, I'll just respect you more. Time is 8:38. Let's take a look at what is happening.